104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the big story of the day.
I guess I want to be Antonio Brown. I guess. I mean, I guess
not
I want...
Not his name, man.
Well...
Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest, sorry. C-Mac and Chad Brown.
You guys have a similar colored mustache.
I think mine's a little darker, to be quite honest with you, which is remarkable. You know, before I go down this path, what did you think about everything? And we'll get into maybe a role with the Broncos or and then all that. I got a bunch of stuff. I got a bunch of stuff.
All right.
Did a little work last night.
Talking to the birdies.
Yep. So, but what was your take on the Antonio Brown situation?
As soon as I saw that it was Buffalo, I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. The instant I saw that last night. And then there was no follow-up tweets. And there was no follow-up information. There was no tickers about it. I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. As soon as Antonio Brown heard it was Buffalo, I'm sure he called Drew Rosenhaus, was like, there's no way this is going to happen. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what kind of public thing I need to make happen. I am not going to play in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that Buffalo had a real honest thought that they should go after him.
Okay, why not? Why? Because it's in Western New York?
No, it's got less to do with the city of Buffalo, which is certainly a factor, and more to do with the quarterback.
What's wrong with Josh Allen?
Is Josh Allen a better thrower or a better runner at this point in his career?
I don't know, man. But, you know, I actually, last
night... You do know. He's a better runner at this point.
I don't know. I'd have to look at some numbers, but...
So, if Antonio Brown's not getting 15 targets a game, he's going to throw a fit. And do you want your young quarterback who's still struggling to understand the nuances of the NFL passing game, having a receiver pull this crybaby crap on the sideline every time he's not targeted? Or Josh Allen decides to take off and run with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, I was open.
Mm-hmm.
What the blank is wrong with you?
After this was all going down, I watched, maybe sad on my part, when the Avalanche were getting blown out. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Right.
By the way, some breaking news this afternoon. Not only was it a pit of misery for the Avalanche last night, Gabriel Landeskog is done for the regular season with an upper body injury.
Dilly.
That's how the NHL does it. They don't tell you.
Right.
A lot of elements in the upper body. He ran into the goalie. The goalie for the Stars is like 6'7". Yeah, Ben Vicious. 6'7" goalie.
He covers a lot of space.
When do we just get the sumo wrestler in there? And just, but yeah, he had a collision with him, and that's a big goalie, and now he's out for the rest of the year.
The lacrosse jersey and giant shoulder pad look.
Kind of. It's like Goldberg and Mighty Ducks just tape him to the pipes. It's a bummer because I just don't know how the Avalanche... Hey, surprise me, Avalanche, you know? But, I mean, Landeskog was having a freaking great season, and... Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what they do. I'm not rooting against them. It's just going to be much more difficult. Right. So Landeskog out.
I concur.
So anyways, so I wasn't watching the Avs anymore. And I turned on, I went to Josh Allen highlights from the Buffalo Bills season, from his first year with the Bills.
Tell me about him.
I mean, I just didn't watch a lot of Bills games last year. Call me crazy. Well, I saw a guy. Here's what I liked about it. At the end of the day in the NFL, when you just boil it down to everything, it's about picking up first downs and scoring in the red zone, offensively. You got to pick up first downs. You got to score in the red zone. Okay, fine.
Wow, that's astute. For as many mind-blowingly dumb football opinions as you've had over the years, that may have been the smartest football thing you've ever said.
Thank you.
Yes. The Thank show you. Should end now because that was the Let's high go. Note.
Drive Reloaded coming up next. I think we got some DU hockey tonight. So what I saw, sometimes if you really boil down football, you're like, all we got to do is get 10 yards. All we have to do is take this oblong shaped piece of cow and move it 10 yards, 30 feet. That's all we have to do? Really? Well, okay. And we just keep doing this, then we, you know, score the ball. You know, sometimes when I think about how simple it is just to gain 10 yards, I'm just blown away that teams can't get a first down. It does not seem like the hardest thing in the world to do. In fact, just the opposite. It seems like it's a much harder thing to stop than to actually do.
I would agree with that.
It, to stop a team from doing something so relatively easy has got to be a challenge.
I mean, that's why teams average 300 yards a game of offense.
So
you
then
give
I
up
think
30 of those 10-yard things.
And more or less the way football is there's a helmet on a helmet, right?
Right.
More or less. But the one person often who's unaccountable for is the quarterback himself.
Defensively, the quarterback as a runner is a difficult concept to deal with.
So what I saw out of Josh Allen was a guy who, okay, fine, he's not as advanced as he will be in the future, but he has the physical abilities to pick up those first downs. And I'm watching the highlight reel, I'm like, oh my God, how many times is he going to run in from the 15-yard line? And the answer was quite often.
A lot.
Yeah, and he's not sliding. He's putting his shoulder down, or he's trying to jump over dudes, or he's making a cut, and all right, I get it, but I don't know. And then I went back and watched Wyoming tape. And I was like, okay, I see it. And then you watch his completions, not his incompletions, watch his completions. And when this guy is on, I mean, he's got a cannon. And he can make things happen that are freaky. To your bigger point, he's going to grow. I mean, and I understand. I understand how important it is to have a high completion percentage. I get it. But there's a lot of other great things with Josh Allen. And with a guy like Antonio Brown, I think it's insane what could have happened. And so to me, it just feels like Antonio Brown just rejected this. I think it feels like it's more personal, like it's just about being in Buffalo than being with Josh Allen.
If you're Antonio Brown, you taking Josh Allen or you taking Andrew Luck?
I take Andrew Luck.
Okay. If you're the team.
Is that happening?
The Colts have a tremendous amount of money to spend. Tremendous amount of money to spend.
All right.
They've got a quarterback who's not going to be yelled at, who has achieved a status in the league where the wide receiver can't come and yell at him without ramifications, other people jumping in. Josh Allen would shrink in those moments. Andrew Luck is not going to shrink at Antonio Brown.
Wait, hold on. We got to back up. Like Mike Evans, beep, beep. And I'll get to Mike, too, by the way. Mike. Mike is a trip. All right. We'll get to beep beep in a second. Antonio Brown does not have a no-trade thing. I cannot believe the Steelers are more or less letting him get away with what he's getting away with. He's dictating the terms of a trade when he has absolutely zero contractual leverage to do so. He's just doing it.
He's acting like a free agent.
It is stunning.
It is.
So that's why I said, that's why I led off with, I wish I was Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
you get the guarantee of a contract still under.
I'm just going to act like a baby
and get what I want.
it's stunning.
I can't. Well, but
stunning.
But why would he operate any differently when Mike Tomlin lets him do the things that he's done over the last couple of years?
I would be so tempted if I was the Steelers to not trade him, dare him to sit out, and keep finding him. And then you'll get your money back, basically. You'll get your, I think it's $11 million, 11.4, something like that. You know, and Antonio Brown is a guy that's in a little sticky situation because he was not a high draft pick. So he's still trying to, you know, get past, you know, the spot that he was actually drafted in. I think he was a fifth or sixth round guy. But, of course, fifth or sixth round guys as receivers are not magic mushrooms.
No.
No. You find all sorts of talent at that position, fifth, sixth round guys.
Yeah. You may even just go into your defensive back meeting and grab one of those guys.
To me, Antonio Brown.
I'm just going to stone me on that one.
No, I got you. To me, Antonio Brown is I wouldn't want to touch this guy with your 10-foot pole.
But clearly, as much as the Steelers could try to punish
Antonio Brown, happening to your proud organization, Chad. You're
It's awful
over
there.
Your Steeler Nation.
It's awful over there.
Your steel curtain over there, Chad.
They are letting Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. They
run all
those
over
guys
them.
So way too much room.
What is going on there?
It undermines the locker room. It undermines so many things. And that's why they melt down. Talented team, but they lose to the Broncos because they're not disciplined. It shows up all the time. Even the great hit by Will Parks. Hey, man, you're on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Put the ball in the proper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the ball in that hand?
Mm-hmm.
So just the little things, the discipline, the death by inches thing.
Yeah.
It's death by feet and yards over there in Pittsburgh.
And they got all the talent.
So
or
much
they
talent.
Had all the talent.
Yeah.
And you would think that organization does have the right legacy in terms of who we're playing for. You know, this would be a tricky one for me if I was running things over with the Steelers, because the axe might have to fall on Mike Tomlin on this one. I mean, it's just an absurd environment. I don't know how it got like this.
Coaches,
but they're still a good team.
Coaches tend to treat, you know, special players differently. But at some point, when you open up that window and you don't know who you're opening that window to, that guy's going to abuse it. And you end up in the situation where the Steelers are right now with Antonio Brown.
What did it feel like for you to be a linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Oh, man. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding? So not just at that time with Kevin Green, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Greg Lloyd, for about 5 years, was literally the baddest man in football.
Mm-hmm.
Levon Kirkland and I, young bucks coming up, you know, making Pro Bowls and doing well.
Mm.
It was an amazing experience. There's a Steeler linebacker in the Pro Bowl almost every single year just because they're just there.
What a time to be. And if it wasn't for Neil O'Donnell and his alleged gambling debts.
Yeah. But
I don't know that, but.
But you go back to Jack
Lambert. You should have a ring.
Yeah, I should. Absolutely.
That is, you're better than the Raiders.
No, well, Cowboys.
Cowboys, sorry. You're better than the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You're better than the Raiders, too. But you're better than the Cowboys. You were that year.
And the year before, when we lost to San Diego, we were better than them. And they got destroyed by the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So we lost to the Chargers in the championship.
You walk in and you're a linebacker for the Steelers. The legacy is what? In the mid-90s.
Legacy is huge. And not only, again, not just the guys who are currently in the room, but Jack Lamb and Jack Lambert are walking into the locker room. They're in the facility. You see those guys. You recognize what you are a part of.
Meant something.
It meant something to you. And I think the Steelers, I'm not sure if they still do this, but I thought one of the best things that they did was the first day of rookie minicamp, they take you over to the hotel ballroom, and they show you Steeler Hall of Fame speeches.
Mm.
And up until that point, I thought, man, I might just play 4 years and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I left that thing thinking, I want to play forever. I want to be a Steeler, and I want to make the Hall of Fame.
15 years later.
Because not only do you watch the speeches, but once the video is done, the doors open up, and here come those guys walking in.
Mm.
Here comes Donnie Shell and Jack Lambert and Jack Ham and Mean Joe Green. It's like, are you what?
Right.
I'm a part of this?
Right.
This is, I get to be part of this legacy?
Getting chills.
I get to play in that stadium? I get to walk in these halls? That's amazing.
So how many times did you ever think to yourself, man, Pittsburgh is a crappy city?
They've done a lot in Pittsburgh, which is what you always hear.
Doesn't matter. You were fine, right? You're okay. You're all right not being in Miami, right?
I was.
You're okay not being in San Diego.
I was.
You're all right.
Yeah.
It was fine. The weather, okay. So what?
It was an event.
We got crappy weather. Okay. Look at our fans.
I looked at
these
the weather.
These fans are insane.
As an advantage. Made me tougher.
And that's what I think the Broncos have had. They've had that legacy. I mean, you want to be a Steeler. You want to be a Bronco.
You do.
And look at both of these organizations right now. I mean, it's you really are like, what happened? Like, what really did happen here? Like, where is it that I don't want to be a Steeler anymore? Where is it that, you know, being a Bronco is not such a great deal these days?
It's fascinating.
What happened?
How your legacy can be quickly tarnished by a couple of bad decisions, a couple of bad choices,
Mm-mm-mm.
a couple of bad apples.
I think both organizations, by the way, quickly could.
Oh, there's no doubt about
bring it back up.
There's no doubt about
and probably faster in Pittsburgh right now because, well, unless Roethlisberger's just done. And I thought the comment about it's Ben and 52 kids, you know, that was ridiculous coming from the general manager.
It's also ridiculous for Ben to go on his radio show and criticize his teammates.
He's been doing it for years.
That's not your role either.
He's been doing it for years.
Yeah, well, just as Rondo saying I, you know, sat mm-hmm. on the bench 12 seats away from the rest of the team, I've been doing it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Doesn't excuse it. I don't care if Ben's been doing it for years. It's a terrible look.
Yeah, and that's probably at the point, whether it's his truly his fault or not, and I love Mike Tomlin, but maybe it's just one of those cases where you, hey, man, we just need a different voice here. But Tomlin, I love Tomlin. But you know, maybe I'm not seeing the entire picture there.
Is it the voice?
To me, I cannot believe the Steelers just wouldn't say, this is a done deal. We're making it happen. Unless the Bills were just like, well, we don't want this guy if he's going to be such a baby about things.
If Antonio Brown refuses to report, then what do you do?
Well, what team in the NFL is going to be willing to take him on?
I think the Colts.
That's it, huh?
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Andrew Luck. How about that?
It's fantastic. Plus their offensive line, which is
really,
incredible.
Really good. And they've got three offensive line coaches.
Is that right?
Including Howard Mudd.
Is that right?
Who is up there on the pantheon of all-time great offensive line coaches. Dante Scarnecchi, Howard Mudd, and then who was the guy who was here? Alex Gibbs.
Alex Gibbs is working with the...
No. I'm saying on those three guys. Howard Mudd, Dante Scarnecchi, and Alex Gibbs. The three greatest offensive line coaches of the modern era.
Gotcha. Sorry. Yes. Okay. All right. What are the Colts waiting for then?
I don't know.
Because they don't want him.
Well, there's a great saying by my old friend Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G. Rest in peace.
Personal friends? Or?
Personal homeboys. Go way back. Real bad boys move in silence.
It's funny to me because I really considered you a West Coast guy, not a Brooklyn guy, but okay.
I'm worldwide. It says it on my Twitter title.
All right, well, that's the Antonio Brown Buffalo Bills saga, which is hysterical because of how it fell apart and that a guy who's got 3 years left on his deal is controlling everything. And
he's a free agent. And it's amazing.
It is amazing. I'm announcing I'm going to be traded. I'm this, I'm that. I'm controlling where I go. It is remarkable. All right. Good for Antonio Brown, I guess. I mean, if you can get away with it.
He's been getting away with it for years.
Oh, we have some breaking news from Ian Rappaport. Can we trust this? Wasn't Rappaport the one talking about the Bills and Antonio Brown?
It's the verified blue check mark rap sheet. So hopefully.
Take this for what it's worth. Billy Turner, offensive lineman, who started 11 games for Denver, has broken off extension talks with the team and is headed to free agency. Denver is a prime right tackle location in free agency. Maybe. I heard yesterday, I'll give you some of the birdie talk. Todd McShay, him mocking an offensive lineman, pay attention to that. McShay's been pretty good over the past couple years. He's been better with the Broncos in the past couple of years than he had been previously, which may lead you to believe that, you know, things are a little bit more secure for Todd McShay where he's getting his information. Was it Jonah? Help me out here.
Jonah Williams.
Jonah Williams, offensive lineman from
Alabama.
I'm not saying that the Broncos won't address if things are not working out with Billy Turner. And I was told, too, that Veldier, it's dicey.
It should be.
It is.
It should be.
Yeah. What you may see is 10 overall, Jonah Williams, having the money to do up Matt Paradis at some point. They are stuck with Ron Leary. How about that? They're just literally stuck with the dude. Can't really move away with them. He's probably going to start at left guard, even though... So they just got to deal with him. You're going to stick with Garrett Bowles, and you're going to hope Mike Munchak just gets that dude up to speed. So you're looking at Garrett Bowles, Ron Leary, Matt Paradis, We'll see. Connor McGovern, I don't know. We'll see. That's open. That's open. That could be a free agent. And Jonah Williams.
So the thought of re-signing Paradis, how come you didn't do this before? What is...
They're looking to get a little bit of a bargain there. They don't want to... they wanted to see what the market really was. They think teams are going to be a little, you know, touchy on him because of the surgeries.
Because Pouncey got 11 per year for 3 years in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So that sets the market.
Yeah. Is Paradis better than Pouncey?
Not as athletic.
Probably not. So we're talking 9 to 10 million. Still a great deal for, you know, Paradis.
Absolutely. That's fantastic center money.
Yeah. I can get into my little birdie talk a little bit if you want.
Let's do it.
One of it is pay attention to Todd McShay.
Okay.
Pay attention to Todd McShay, okay? Which means you got to kind of follow the bouncing ball. If that's the case, then look for a free agent in the cornerback market. Cornerback market. And with, how should I put this? Look for Paradis. And we were pretty darn close to our whole talk yesterday about that slot receiver. We were talking more about the draft, but maybe keep your eyes on free agency. And didn't we find out today, Big Sexy, Danny Amendola was let go?
He's parting ways with
Cow. Like, that's it. That's like the perfect guy, probably at the perfect price. That, to me, is a no-brainer.
I think for the Broncos to draft an offensive lineman is obviously going to be, it's just a cheaper way of going about it because there's not very many free agent guys available, and you have to overspend so much to get anybody of any kind of quality.
Right.
The best way now to get offensive lineman is in the draft. I just figured they would go the more Patriot route of not drafting very early, typically, with offensive linemen, counting on a guy like Dante Scarnecchia, counting on a guy like Mike Munchak to be able to develop offensive linemen rather than drafting them early.
Pay attention. If they get a cornerback in free agency, if they get a tight end, like a blocking tight end, not a receiving tight end, Chad, but a blocking sort of road grader, and they pick up a wide receiver, then, you know, unless they just are in love with like Devin White and they have a chance to get Devin White as a linebacker, to me, Jonah Williams is actually kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
There is another quarterback who is now available. This has just come out, and he is a... And Mike Evans is coming. I'm coming for you, Mike Evans.
Oh.
Beep, beep. And we'll tell you who this seminal quarterback who is now available. We'll get to it next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Lifts his leg away in a snap. From Cody right there. Packers are bringing a bunch. Glenn lobs it into the left corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Kendall Wright. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears. Caps it off on a 3rd and 2, 5-yard touchdown throw. And tightens it up a bit right before halftime.
There he is. Mike Glenn in the world's longest neck. And he has been dumped. Mike Glenn is out now. It's D-Mac, Chad Brown. Of course, Glennon is critical in the history of roster development because he is, that's right, he's the key part in the Glennon-Trubisky doctrine. And
that's different than the Tebow 7-year manifesto.
Absolutely.
All right.
By the way, the Tebow manifesto, it was a 7-year manifesto.
I remember. I may be one of the few people who actually read that. I read that.
Well, appreciate it. The essence of the Tebow manifesto, by the way, as funny as it just sounds, was to take an untraditional quarterback and develop everything around him.
Right.
There's the elevator speech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what Arizona is shaping up to do with Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to use the Tebow manifesto for Kyler Murray, an untraditional NFL quarterback, and build everything around him. So Josh Rosen makes, you know, no sense there.
Nope.
Zero. And it's got nothing to do with Josh Rosen. Mike Glennon, the Glennon-Trubisky doctrine, states that it's more about the total budget of the quarterback room, Chad, if you don't have a lockdown quarterback, meaning when you go to draft a quarterback in the first round, and you should definitely not only be drafting a quarterback in the first round, BP Bevins, but drafting a quarterback as high in the first round as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And never draft a quarterback 20 through 29, maybe even 29 through 30. 31, 32 is different because you're a Super Bowl team. It's just a different set of circumstances. But drafting a quarterback 20 through 29, Chad, is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So when Mike Evans, beep, beep, always talks about first-round quarterbacks, he always, I mean always, leaves that part out about what I advocate for. He never, ever, when he's critical of my concept of where you should pick a quarterback, never mentions that I say strictly stay away from quarterbacks in the 20s. So Mike will come on the air with Mark Schlereth, who thinks we made a mistake with Bradley Chubb, and has said on the air it should be should have been Quentin Nelson. He comes on and he purports my first-round strategy to include quarterbacks in the 20s, despite the fact I have said repeatedly to stay away from those guys. So I'm not just a first-round quarterback guy. I'm a, you know, top 20, really top 19 quarterback guy. And I get iffier as it gets deeper. So you get to 15, 16, 17, 18. I don't necessarily write it off, Chad, but I'm like, I'm getting more uncomfortable as time goes.
Mm-hmm.
So the essence of the Glennon Trubisky doctrine is that you fill out the quarterback budget. You have a bridge quarterback. It does not matter what he makes. So if he makes $18 million, who cares? Because you're about to draft a guy somewhere in the top five. And the beauty of the Glennon Trubisky doctrine is that the Bears moved up how many spots to get Mitch Trubisky?
Just a couple, right?
One spot?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's their guy. That's who they believed in.
And they went after him.
And they went. They did everything they could to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when the Broncos said last year, we like Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, and Sam Darnold, I wanted to lose my lunch. Because if you seriously identified a quarterback you did like, and all you had to do was go from 5 to 3, or maybe more specifically 5 to 2, so you could stop the Jets from jumping from 6 to 2, which they may have done, they may have tried to do. You move up, like the Bears, they moved up one spot. They went from 3 to 2. And at the time, it was like, what are you doing? Brilliant. Now Glennon is available. But I don't want anything to do with Glennon. He's not a developmental type of guy, Chad.
No.
That's it. It's done. There's no way on God's green earth I would ever want Mike Glennon with the Denver Broncos. Makes no sense. Mike Evans. And then Evans is still with this, these quarterbacks 2 through 4. Beep, beep. And there's Stink. I felt bad. I didn't feel bad for Stink, but he was like, because Stink really is just down on Rosen. And Stink's done quite a few of Rosen's games, by the way, which means he has a chance to talk to him and the coaches. So we should pay attention to that a little bit. But even Mike Evans said, yeah, if for a third rounder, yeah, of course. That's why Rosen's the hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks 2 through 4 are, you know, beep beeps. They're you know, hope is a strategy. Then 5 through 7 are magic mushrooms and
right.
Fairy tales. Yeah. And then the morning. How's this going to end? And then the morning show eventually got to the point where the best they could come up with is a magic mushroom quarterback. That's eventually where they landed. They were having the same exercise, the same conversation. And when they finally got there, it was like Ryan Finley in the 5th round.
That's going to help.
It's nothing.
That's not going to help. No. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous concept. Teams do that every year, and just because of the whole magic mushroom hope that this guy I pick up in the 5th, 6th, 7th round is somehow going to get in camp.
It's insane.
And we're going to be like, oh my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
He's Trevor Siemian. Oh, my. Look at Trevor Siemian. Look at Trevor Siemian. We should run out and give Trevor Siemian $20 million a year instantly. Well, what about the 2 years he has left on? No! Rip that up! Rip that up! Here's $20 million! Remember when we had people on this radio station, banging the table to...
Trevor Siemian was getting fitted for a gold jacket. It was fascinating to listen to. And it was two games into the season. You beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And suddenly...
Yeah?
This guy might be Tom Brady.
$20 million. Pay him!
This guy might be Tom Brady.
What are we waiting for? Pay him! I'm like, hey. Yeah. Let's 2-0.
Pump your brakes.
Let's slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
3-1. Oh, hold on. Bye week, Giants, disaster, never the same.
Fell off the rails completely.
And then, listen, I appreciate the I mean, I don't even know where to go with undrafted quarterbacks that you think are going to work out. I don't even know what to do with that.
Do you put, so Chad Kelly being Mr. Irrelevant, is he more in the magic mushroom, or is he, you kind of put him in that undrafted area?
I don't even know what to call the undrafted quarterbacks. Like the Garrett Graysons. Was Grayson drafted or not? I don't know. But
has there ever been an undrafted quarterback?
Well, Tony Romo was an undrafted quarterback. I mean, Kurt Warner was an undrafted quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, if you want to talk low percentages of success,
clearly.
I mean, can you... Okay, fine. There's two. And now let's compare them to, 1,000 other guys?
Right.
Garrett Grayson was a third rounder. He's Mr.
Put some respect in his name, man.
Sorry. So he's a khaki pantser all the way.
Anyway, hashtag asunder, man. Give him no respect.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Tons of moves today. Tons of moves. We'll break it down. We'll talk about who's available. The latest is Danny Amendola. Should the Broncos be going after Danny Amendola? D-Mac, Chad Brown. This is Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Back to throw, Osweiler. Looking, rolls to his right, away from pressure. Goes downfield, touchdown, Danny Amendola.
What a catch by Danny Amendola in the traffic to come down. Brock Osweiler on the run to the outside.
D-Mac, Chad Brown, and Danny Amendola is available. Chad, would you move on Danny Amendola to be your slot guy?
I am trying to find some stats on Danny, particularly what his age is right now. That's probably...
All right, why don't you do that, and I'll just go through a rundown of some of the other moves here today, okay?
All right.
The Giants trade Olivier Vernon to the Browns for guard Kevin Zeitler. The Steelers do trade Marcus Gilbert to Arizona for a late sixth-round pick, so there were a couple of offensive linemen there with Mike Munchak ties, and they do not end up with the Broncos. The Eagles trade defensive end Michael Bennett to the Patriots for draft compensation. So look for Michael Bennett to be like a Pro Bowl player next year. And we know Malik Jackson is now gone. So is Carlos Hyde. The Lions release guard TJ Lang. That's kind of interesting. There you go. Those are the big headlines. All right. Let's start with Amendola and we can go through some of this other stuff.
At 33 years old, I'm going to say no on that. It's a guy who's got an extensive injury history. I think you would be setting yourself up for maybe a similar to Pac-Man Jones kind of thing. Guy, not from a character standpoint, but just from an older guy you bring in to fill a specific role. Body starts breaking down on him. Then you're left, as the Broncos were left, without a third corner for most of the season once Pac-Man had that quad injury.
So you're passing on Danny Amendola.
I think we talked about some guys who are going to be available in the draft I think would be far better fits.
I've got a feeling that they're going to look for a wide receiver, though, Chad. I really do have that feeling. I'm not saying it's Danny Amendola, but...
Well, I think they need a slot guy.
Yeah.
They've got outside guys. I know Emmanuel has played in the slot in the past, but I think you need a true slot guy who that's what he does.
Yeah, I think Emmanuel would be great in the slot. But coming off this injury, I'm going to take a guess that they're going to look at him as more of an outside guy. Not as much traffic there on the outside as there is in the middle of the field. And I think that's a way to try to get some production out of Emmanuel, not put him in the same dangerous type of positions.
Right.
So I think I would be surprised if they did not go out and get one of these slot free agents. So we should take a look at him. If you don't like Danny Amendola, fine. But I would just keep that in mind. I would be surprised if the Broncos did not go in free agency in that direction. And I think they're going to do several things in free agency. I think, you know, Joe Flacco obviously is going to be the big headliner. This slot receiver, if they go in this direction, could be big news. Offensive line could obviously be big news. And I'm tempted to, and I just like Malik Jackson so much personally, but
here's a guy who fits the slot receiver stereotype, Cole Beasley from the Cowboys.
There you go.
Little short white dude.
He's got to be a white guy.
A little short white dude. That's who plays the slot, man. I'm sorry.
It doesn't have to be a white guy, does it?
It doesn't have to be.
There's just too many of them out there.
But if you think about the last 5 or 6 years in the NFL and you think about a slot receiver, what do you picture?
Edelman, Welker, Stokely.
Yeah. Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah. Some little crafty guy,
mm-hmm.
running zig routes.
Why does it have to be a white guy, though?
I don't
know. What's that got to do with it?
I think perhaps...
Is it because they're more... Go ahead. Why do you think?
I think it's the... Well, certainly they have... Some of these guys have the speed to play outside. But outside, you need more range. You need more size
mm-hmm.
to be able to compete for jump balls and out-lead people and make the sideline catches. In the slot, you just had to find a way to get open. And there's a certain craftiness to that craft. And these guys have that because they've learned to deal that.
They've had to do it.
Because they couldn't play outside in the traditional system.
So if they were going to make it for a long time, it's not that there's anything special about being white.
No.
It's just that that type of athlete
yes.
has had to figure a different way. And in the end, they may have an advantage only because they've just been doing it longer than guys who are probably a little bit more athletic. Is that fair?
That is fair to say.
All right.
Guys outside are, you know, Calvin Johnson or Julio Jones are 6'4", 6'5", freaks who,
right.
you know, run 4.340s. They're not 5'9", crafty
guys. Yeah, I'll give you somebody, for example, like Eric Decker to me was always an outside guy. And a lot of people wanted to paint a picture of him as like a slot guy. I was like, what are you talking about?
No, body type, he was an outside guy.
Definitely. And he had, you know, especially at the beginning of his career, Decker had... He had speed. I'll never forget watching Eric Decker outrun Champ Bailey early on when he was here with the Broncos. Decker was pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Decker's production over his entire NFL career, it's really impressive. He had a great NFL career,
mm-hmm.
especially for the value of where he was taken, which I believe Decker was a third-round guy. I could be wrong, but I think he was like a third-round guy. Great draft. I got, you know, McDaniels got DT and Decker in the same draft. They had a little hit. Both of them had some injury issues going on, but both turned out to be really terrific. That's a good draft. And that was the Tebow draft, too. Everybody wants to rip on the draft because of Tebow.
Timber!
Well, I mean, look who else you got. Was Julius Thomas in that draft, too?
I think so.
McDaniels. Tell you what.
Now, Josh spent time in the personnel department with the Patriots.
And Brian Sanders, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these other guys got any interest to you that are available?
Michael Bennett, I thought, would have been a good one, but, you know, the Patriots snatched him up really quickly.
Yep.
Malik Jackson, I think, could bring some swagger back to the defensive line.
Can you have Malik Jackson, Shelby Harris, and Derek Wolfe?
Yeah,
you can. Yeah.
But then that's got to be...
And Adam Gotsis, I guess, would be part of
that has to
too.
Be the focus of your defense. You're going to devote that kind of money, that kind of, you know, personality to that room. Then you have to do things from a defense perspective that allows those guys to be successful and have a role for all of them.
What does that look like then? If so, these aren't really, you know, nose tackle guys. These are your, you know, defensive ends, I guess, in a 3-4.
Guess, yeah,
or should I not even look at it like that?
Well, most of the time you're going to be in nickel or dime.
Okay.
So those guys are going to
So what does it look like?
Your interior rushers, because you don't want to put, you don't want to get Chubb and Vaughn off the field.
So we're looking at Gotsis, Wolf, Harris, and let's just, for the sake of argument, Malik. Mm-hmm. Who's on the field? Who's rotating where? What does that look like?
Well, defensive line is perhaps the most rotating group in all of football. Those big fellas can't go hard every play for more than a series or two before they need to blow. So those guys would all play probably equal time until the hot hand happens, until somebody proves themselves to be the guy who needs to get more snaps. That's what I would do as defensive line coach. I got horses. I'm going to let them run until somebody shows me who's the fastest and the most effective horse.
Does Malik Jackson still have gas in the tank?
I think he does. I think the Jacksonville, they went big on defense, spent a lot of money, and now realizing, okay, there's a price to pay for all of that, and we still don't have a quarterback. They released all those guys, but Blake Bortles is still on that team. Because that's how uncertain they are about the rest of the quarterback process, is that we can't get rid of Blake Bortles because we don't know if we can get somebody better.
When we come back with football at 4, we'll look at the other teams in the West and what they've got cooking, what's going on. Plus, I'll let you know how the Broncos really feel about Josh Rosen next.